Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, amma ba'd, fa a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله مرحبا مرحبا أهلا وسهلا بكم to one and all. It is only through the fadl and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we do come to you once again, just as we promised last night. Same time, same place on your Madani channel. Alhamdulillah. Thumma Alhamdulillah. We thank Allah Azza wa Jalla for giving us and granting us a wonderful day, dear viewers. We are in the new year 2026. Tonight's topic, dear viewers, is another important one, subhanallah. And we are speaking about cleanliness is half of Iman. Jihad, dear viewers. Our deen, our Islam is not a religion of slogans. Only it is a deen and religion of standards. Subhanallah. Remember, dear viewers, before Islam speaks about paradise, before Islam speaks about Jannah, it talks about hygiene. Before Islam emphasizes and speaks about worship and ibadah, it speaks about wudu, jihad. Before Islam talks about beauty of the soul, of the ruh, it speaks and talks about cleanliness of the body. And thus, this is the hadith of as well, that subhanallah, cleanliness is half of Iman. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, not just recommended, dear viewers. This cleanliness which Islam speaks about is not something which is optional. Jihad, it is not culture, nor half of tradition, but half of Iman, subhanallah, half of our faith, our Iman. So if you look around us, look at the designer clothes, expensive perfumes, but unfortunately we have dirty nails. Fancy home, but unhygienic habits, filthy and dirty habits, which at times become disgusting. We have religious talks, deeny talks, but careless cleanliness, dear viewers. No care is given or taken with regards to cleanliness, purity, hygiene. So Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, tonight, joining me once again to unpack this powerful but often ignored command of Islam is my respected guest who needs no introduction, Maulana Ziyad Madani Hafidhahullah, a scholar, subhanallah, who doesn't just teach the deen, but he, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, for as long as we see him, mashallah, he's here with us, and he lives it in the same way as we are mentioning it. Allah Kareem grant us tawfiq and ability to practice upon the commandments of the Holy Quran Pak and the ahadith of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we're going to be speaking about the clean Islam, that the Islam that smells good, subhanallah, the Islam that looks dignified, the Islam that makes angels comfortable and shaitan uncomfortable, dear viewers. This is what we are going to be speaking about. This is what our deen, our beautiful religion, Islam emphasizes upon and teaches us. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Let's engage with Maulana Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How is Maulana Sahib keeping today?
Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala's mercy is upon us.
Subhanallah. The hot weather of Durban affect Maulana Sahib today?
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Here in South Africa, we are currently experiencing summer. And we can say around about mid-summer. So yes, the heat is a lot in this part of the world. I know people in other parts of the world are complaining of the cold and we are Allahu experiencing Akbar. Heat. But our spirit should be that we shouldn't complain. We should embrace the weather that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with. It's often seen that when it gets cold, people tend to complain. And then when it gets hot, people tend to complain. So we are satisfied. We need to be pleased Allahu with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu and mashallah, they are wonderful mashallah means of keeping cool mashallah here in South Africa mashallah as well. So let's use our means and enjoy the while.
Alhamdulillah. As we can see, I'm still sweating, ya Sayyidi. You know, Allahu Akbar. However, sometimes we need the heat as well, and there's a balance, yes, subhanAllah, yes. There is a balance as well. And I think part of our discussion will be some summer topics as well, some hygiene with regards to the heat itself as well.
Actually, this topic is so apt for this time, especially in South Africa, because when does increase, when it becomes hot during summer months, people tend to feel a little bit more uncomfortable due to the hot weather. And here where humidity is high as well, people tend to perspire. So it does happen. We are human beings, and we need to find ways to be able to curb the difficulties that we do face. At the same time, also make sabr through them, and we'll be rewarded for that.
MashaAllah. Kya baat hai Madini ki. So having said that, Ya Sayyidi, I want to mention, I want to ask Maulana Sahib that the deen is there to guide us, right?
True.
Alhamdulillah. But why does Islam emphasize and speak so much about hygiene, about cleanliness? In fact, more than any other religion in the world, Islam emphasizes and stresses a lot with regards to cleanliness itself.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Reason behind that, yes.
Definitely. Islam has laid foundations for us, laid things that are necessary upon us. Remember, whatever we do that Allah Azza wa Jal commands, we do for the purpose of fulfilling the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, of obeying the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. But at the same time, if you look towards the hikmah and the wisdoms in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find so many. And the more in-depth knowledge Allah has blessed you with, the more you would find, the more hikmahs and the more wisdoms you'll find. And within this command of being clean, within Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loving us to be clean, there are so many benefits for us. So let's just look at that which is apparent and quite known to us, that cleanliness protects our health. Cleanliness protects our health. If one stays clean, then one is protected from various sicknesses, various diseases, various germs and bacteria that cause these sicknesses, etc. And if one is unhygienic, then you find that this person becomes a magnet for sickness, becomes a magnet for diseases, meaning these sicknesses, diseases, bacteria, germs are all drawn to such a person. Just take, for example, someone who washes their hands before they eat. This is part of hygiene, it's part of cleanliness, and it's from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This person is protected from all of the germs that had settled on their hands through the day, and they are protected from placing those germs into the mouth. Then if one does not wash their hands, then any germs, any bacteria that has settled on the hands then goes into the digestive system. Unfortunately, this can cause a person's sickness. So this cleanliness that Islam gives us, it protects our health. At the same time, it keeps us disciplined. It keeps us disciplined that before eating, this is what you do. Before performing salah, this is what you do. So you tend to develop a discipline in your life. Alhamdulillah, and it dignifies us as well. So Islam encourages cleanliness because cleanliness dignifies a person. It gives you dignity. People who are dignified, given dignity, honored in communities, you would find that they are clean people. You don't find anyone that's an honorable person in a society but is very unhygienic, is very dirty. Why? Because people are repelled by filth. They're repelled, they're disgusted by a filthy appearance, even just bad smells, odors also tend to repel people. So Islam gives
especially people
dignity.
Who are preachers.
Yes.
Because they're calling people towards Islam.
Yes. So
and they would deal with the public mostly.
So the preachers actually need to take more care than others. Everyone needs to take care because we're all Muslims and we all have to listen and obey the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal and the Sunnah of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But sometimes you are in a position where you are looked at more often, people adopt your company more often, so you need to take more care of these aspects. Right. At the same time, mashallah, this cleanliness, as it dignified us, it also prevents us from diseases, it prevents diseases from reaching us, and it prepares a believer, it prepares a Muslim to stand in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So as much as we're speaking about cleanliness, that prepares us for the courts of people, prepares us for the company of people. Most importantly, cleanliness prepares a person to stand in the court of the one who has created us, Allahu Rabbul Izzah. And so, subhanAllah, just think of the dignity that cleanliness gives you, that now you are blessed to stand in the court of Allah Azza wa only when you are clean. That when you are not clean, then you are not to perform salah. Allah, if you don't have wudu, you don't have ghusl, you are not to perform salah, you are not to touch the Holy Quran as well. But cleanliness dignifies you so much that it lets you touch the Holy Quran and it brings you to the court of Allah Azza wa Jal to perform sajda, to perform ruku', to perform salah as well.
And together with that, every ummati, every servant and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires and wishes to be beloved in the sight of Allah.
Absolutely.
And Allah Kareem, subhanAllah, encourages the believers that He loves those who repent. He loves those who keep clean. Yes. Subhanallah. How beautiful this is, Ya Sayyidi.
Alhamdulillah.
As a source of motivation, I mean.
Absolutely, because see, Islam is not just encouraging cleanliness in such a way that, okay, it's a good thing. If you do it, it's good. And if you don't, then it's okay. No, it's not okay. It tells you, Islam tells you that being clean is a form of ibadah. It's a form of worship, that you are gaining proximity, you are gaining closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is showering His love upon you because of you keeping clean, because of you repenting. And Allah Azza wa Jal has placed, you know, we give so much of importance to repentance. Just think, Allah Azza wa Jal has placed repentance and purity together. So how important repentance is, yeah, so too, purity and staying clean.
So the repentance will refer to the inner side of the cleanliness itself.
That's a beautiful way of looking at it. Repentance is a means of cleaning, purifying yourself internally. And the general purification is the means of purifying yourself externally. So Allah Azza wa Jalla loves both types of purity. The purification of the person's internal self as well as the external self.
So cleanliness itself earns love, Ya Sayyidi. It earns the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not just rewarded, dear viewers. Subhanallah. Allah Kareem loves many actions of His bandas. But cleanliness itself earns muhabba and love, not just reward. Sayyidi, since we are speaking about all of this, right, can Maulana Sahib give us some practical examples in our everyday lives as to how Islam encourages cleanliness itself?
Yes, alhamdulillah, throughout our lives actually, from morning to evening you see this. And even, I was saying from morning to evening, but even through the night. Because just think that, let's take the example of wudu. So wudu five times a day, meaning wudu, whenever you want to perform salah, then you need to be in the state of wudu. So this is a means of hygiene. What do we do in wudu? We wash our hands, we wash our mouths, we wash our noses. And look at the sequence as well. Islam has placed it so beautifully. It's not that you start washing the mouth and nose before washing the hands.
Right. There's a sequence,
this too,
right,
is teaching us hygiene. That first the hands need to be purified before using the hands to purify other parts of the body. So we wash our hands, nose, mouth, face, arms, do masa of the head, we wash our feet, etc. And these are usually parts, the arms, the face, the feet, the head, etc. are parts that are often exposed.
Right.
And therefore, dust, germs, dirt could settle on these parts, but we purify ourselves before performing salah by performance of wudu. And why I said that even not just from morning to evening, but even through the night as well, we are encouraged as believers to even sleep in the state of wudu. And that means even at night before going to bed, it's encouraged to perform wudu and then to go to bed. We are discouraged from being in a state of impurity. At the same time, ghusl from impurity is also made necessary. That when one is in the state of impurity and then they want to perform salah, they want to recite the Holy Quran, that we have to perform ghusl. And also on certain days, it's also considered mustahab. It's rewardable for a person to perform ghusl. Islam encouraged the cleanliness of the clothes as well.
Right.
So that was the entering the state of purity. But what about the apparent purity? So the cleanliness of the clothes is also encouraged in Islam. We find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved wearing white clothes. And if we wear white clothes, then if any dirt happens to settle on white, it becomes easily visible. And that encourages us to clean that off so that we remain clean. So cleanliness of the clothes is important. And then that which people cannot see as well. So let's say, for example, there's pubic hair, underarm hair. This underarm hair, pubic hair, etc. causes bacteria to grow in those areas because a person perspires. And so there's lots of bacterial growth, there's discomfort, there's bad smells that could emanate. In Islam, we are encouraged that it's part of fitrah, it's part of our nature as human beings to stay clean, and therefore we need to ensure that that excess hair is also removed. The mustache should be trimmed so that food doesn't gather upon the mustache. Oral hygiene is encouraged very strongly in Islam. Rasulullah ﷺ would use the miswak. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say that لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي, if it wasn't that I would find it difficult upon my ummah, لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسِّوَاكِ عِنْدَ كُلِّ صَلَاةٍ. I would have given them the command to perform siwak, to clean the teeth at the time of every salah. So Islam has encouraged cleanliness of the mouth as well. Bad odor shouldn't emanate. And I want to end on one point. I know I mentioned many things, but even keeping our surroundings, our streets, our communities clean is also encouraged in Islam. Have we not learned of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that to remove anything that is harmful from the path of the Muslims is also a means of sadaqah. It's a means of charity. So you see some dirt, you see something laying in the pathway, Islam teaches us to work against littering, to purify the place, to clean the place, to ensure that the place is neat. So if you see people are littering and throwing dirt out of the windows and dropping things whilst they're walking along the sides, the sidewalks, the pavements, as they say in South Africa, so this, you must understand, is not from the Sunnah. The Sunnah was to ensure that the place stays clean, to remove these eyesores, these harmful things from the community, from the society, from the sidewalk, from the district and the vicinity, not to litter the society.
I'm just recalling the hadith of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam as to how a person was forgiven simply because of moving an obstacle from the pathway.
Wow.
And that too in Sahih al-Bukhari it is mentioned, Ya Sayyidi. Allah Kareem forgiven and pardoned all of his sons simply because he made that pathway easier for others to cross and pass by. This is our deen. Allahu Akbar. So Islam doesn't wait for dirt to settle on our bodies. It prevents it, dear viewers. It helps us to understand. Ki kachra aur ye jaraseem jama hone se pehle ye bataya ja raha hai ki hum usko kis tarah se dur kar sakte hain. How can we remove this away from our bodies, from our hearts? MashaAllah, you spoke about cleanliness of clothes to the extent, Ya Sayyidi, that Islam, Allahu Akbar, emphasizes so much on purity that if any impurity is upon the clothes, even the washing style of that clothes is different.
Yes.
And that clothes is not even washed in the normal way as you just put your clothes into the washing machine these days. Allahu Akbar. The clothes will have to be washed in accordance to how Islam and the Sharia has taught you how to wash your clothes. If any impurity has settled on your clothes.
Munasib, on this, whilst we're discussing this, I just want to give a hint to our viewers of my channel as well. There's a booklet on Dawat Islami's website, dawatislami.net.
Right.
The booklet is called Method of Purifying Clothes. Method of Purifying Clothes.
Right.
So I would suggest that please, everyone try to read this booklet. Download the booklet, read the booklet. You can download it for free, alhamdulillah. There's no charge on it. So it's a short booklet, but it's part of our necessary knowledge that we have to know as believers, that if our clothes do become impure, how is it that we can purify those clothes, that we can ensure that those clothes are clean,
excellent,
to the extent that I can wear it again and perform salah.
Perform salah.
That level of clean I want to get it to. So this booklet, inshallah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Acha Sayyidi, we are living in a time, right? It's fashion everywhere. We spoke about this in the opening of the program.
Right.
That people are crazy for fashion.
Yes.
And anything that trends, people will actually give that preference more than what Islam has taught us. Unfortunately, it has become like that. So we have sisters, Islamic sisters, and we have people out there who are marketing these extended nails, these artificial nails, should I say. And they may beautify a person by putting them, and there are males as well who would like to extend the natural nails. They will grow the nails, or at least one finger from all the fingers of the hand. From Islamic point of view, Islamic perspective, what does Mu'asab say about this? What does Islam say about hygiene, and especially about this using artificial extended nails? How will this fall into practice?
Actually, there's a few problems with growing the nails long, and also artificial nails that are extended. These two create quite a few problems.
Do you find that to be beautiful in the first place, before you even give the answer?
Personally, no. Why? Because, and there's a reason for it. It's because we grow with hygiene.
Right.
We grew up in hygienic environments. We were taught hygiene based on the deen of Islam. So whatever is against hygiene, it's not attractive to us.
It's not attractive.
People tend to find, or I don't know why it is, but many sisters tend to find the growing of the nails to be, you
attractive
or means of beauty. In fact, it isn't. Why else I tell you very clearly that it isn't? Because the way of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way of Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the Sunnah is beautiful. That which is contrary to the Sunnah, we can't say that that is beautiful instead.
Wow.
So our standard is the Sunnah. And the Sunnah is beauty. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So growing the nails, this is not allowed. In fact, when a person grows their nails beyond 40 days, then they're going to become blameworthy as well. So we shouldn't grow the nails at all. In fact, some people's nails grow quite fast, so you might have to trim them on a weekly basis. But extending, putting on those extended nails, unfortunately, just think from a hygienic perspective, and that is such an important perspective, how much of germs, bacteria, possible diseases are just waiting and hiding under those nails. And when a person, I think of it sometimes that if I see someone with very long nails, even if it just be stuck on extended nails or their own natural nails that have been grown very long, would you want such a person to use their hands to prepare your food? Maaf, I'm sorry that it's such an uncomfortable discussion because people tend to already, you know, practice this. But I think it's something that we all need to ask ourselves. That you wouldn't feel comfortable that someone with extended nails, with long nails, is preparing your food because you know the amount of germs and bacteria that are hidden from your eyes. But within your knowledge that they are hiding, staying, waiting under those nails. And as soon as they get the chance to enter the food and then enter our bodies, they are going to cause us sickness and diseases. And therefore, we are not allowed to just leave the nails to grow very long. We are instructed, it's from fitra, it's from human nature to trim the nails in order to stay clean. Also, one very important point that we need to remember, that having these extended nails stuck on, they are blocking the water from reaching the actual nail.
Allah.
And therefore, if the water is blocked from reaching the actual nails, then wudu and ghusl, without the water reaching the nails, wudu and ghusl will not be valid. And therefore, it is important that we have these things removed. We have our nails trimmed well so that we stay hygienic, so that we stay clean. So it's easy for us to clean as well. And our wudu is valid. Our ghusl is valid. Inshallah.
Our salah is valid.
Yes, that's so important. Because if wudu and ghusl are not valid, then how will salah be valid? Because wudu and ghusl is the key to salah. It is what is necessary in order for salah to be valid. So please, honorable viewers of Madani Channel, honorable Islamic sisters, please keep our honor, keep our dignity in the way that Islam has taught it to us. Islam has given us honor in cleanliness, in ways of staying clean. And let's adopt that. Because the way of Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the blessed wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way of the blessed daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way of the Sahaba ikram and the Sahabiyat was to keep the nails trimmed, to keep clean, to ensure that hygiene is taken care of. And that is the standard of beauty for us, not a fashion that changes every 5, 10, and 20 years.
Wow.
Rather, adopt that way that never dies off.
Kya baat hai Madine ki, subhanallah, subhanallah. What's very important for us to remember, dear viewers, that Islam never forbids beauty. Islam doesn't forbid beauty, but it never allows beauty to cancel your worship and ibadah. This is very important for us to understand. Islam wants you to look beautiful. It wants you to beautify yourself, enhance your beauty, but not on that level where you compromise with your salah, with your worship, with your ibadah. Allahu Akbar.
MashaAllah, Masa, while you're speaking about this, I'm just thinking, you're speaking about beauty and beautifying yourself and ibadah. They were our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, that would actually adorn themselves with special clothing and special perfumes
Subhanallah.
When they would go to perform salah.
Kya baat hai,
there are narrations of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that he used to adorn himself when he'd go to perform salah, that he'd wear special clothing, they would wear special perfume. So this is what we should be doing. We should be looking towards their ways of beautification. And when did they beautify themselves? To stand in front of the creation or to stand in the court of the creator? So when we are standing in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, then let's go that extra mile and try to ensure that we are adorned, we are beautified, and we are in a very good, proper state standing in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. It makes you feel good as well. It makes you feel that Alhamdulillah, I've done as much as I can to honor myself standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
In fact, negligence leads to the loss of dignity. Negligence in your cleanliness would lead to loss in dignity. And we often see, Ya Sayyidi, that when the clothes are purified, when the person has made proper wudu, ghusl, tahara, and he is looking good as well, your heart stays in your ibadah.
Yes.
You enjoy that worship.
Yes, very true. Also, it keeps others, for those who are going to the masajid, alhamdulillah, may Allah Azza wa Jal bless you, that you continue going to the masajid, but you are keeping others comfortable as well. I'm mentioning this, many other brothers could have had similar circumstances, similar cases, where you could be performing salah next to someone, but unfortunately that person has not taken care of hygiene, and therefore the odor that is emanating, bodily odor that could be emanating from such a person, makes you feel uncomfortable. And thus, understand that when I'm going to the masjid, I'm going to the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. When I'm standing in salah, I'm standing in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. There are malaika, there are people, and there are malaika that are surrounding us as well. And if we are going to have bodily odor that is repulsive to those around us, the malaika will also feel repelled by that same thing, which is going to cause repulsion to the people as well. So please take care of our hygiene, our cleanliness, especially, yes, in general, but especially when it comes to the time of worship.
Sayyidi, Together with that, you know, there are certain odors that emanate from the body just because of what we eat, the intake. Look, for example, in Africa, we have so many African countries. We have Malawi, for example. MashaAllah, one of our cameramen is also from Malawi.
Alhamdulillah.
Very good Islamic brother.
MashaAllah.
Likewise, we have many brothers from various other African countries, right? Each country has have their own ways and their cultures when it comes to cooking.
Yes.
Spices that's used, how spicy is it, how blunted is it, so on and so forth, right? Mm-hmm. So, but it is mentioned that food that have heavy spices, or a person who has a digestive problem and a lack of water intake, these are various reasons for the body to give out a bad odor.
Ab
upar se aap perfume dalte rahe hain, itar se rahate rahe hain, bath with the perfume, bath with the itar, but from the internal side of it, a person takes no precaution of what he eats. Can you mention something about this?
Absolutely. You know, Imran Sahib is speaking about, lots of spice in foods. I'm thinking within the Indo-Pak region, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and the surrounding areas
right.
People also have attachment to these areas.
Right.
We are very used to... Well, I'm including myself because we also
taste
used to the similar kind of food that, you know, lots of spices in foods. We don't often pay attention to this, that it's very true that the food that we eat does impact the odor that emanates from our bodies. And so we need to ensure that we try to eat, number one, eat healthily.
Mm.
And also, if we know that it has impacted the odor that emanates from our bodies, then we should do that which is necessary to keep ourselves smelling fresh and clean. How can that take place?
Right.
Number one, the best perfume for all those who want to, you know, you like perfumes, you can listen up as well. Among the best perfumes you can have is water.
Water.
Having a bath often
enough.
Performing wudu often enough. Cleaning oneself often enough. Ensuring that istinja is done well. All of this is among the best way of perfuming yourself. Otherwise, if our bodies are smelling, there's an odor emanating from our bodies, applying perfume just causes a whole new uncomfortable scent.
Mm-hmm.
You have a smell now of perfume mixed with perspiration. It's not an enjoyable smell.
Mm.
So therefore, try to ensure that we are cleaned by water, we wash ourselves, we bathe, we bath properly, we perform wudu and ghusl properly. Istinja is of utmost importance. Ensure that our private areas are cleaned properly, the excess hair, etc. is shaved off as well. So all of this is of utmost importance when we are, for us to live our lives well as Muslims.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. So I'm just looking at the hadith of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. With regards to the garlic and onion intake, Ya Sayyidi, the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in a hadith, those who eat garlic or onion should avoid the masjid until the smell is gone. This is a muttafaqun alayh hadith found in Bukhari and in Muslim Sharif, subhanallah. Can you imagine, dear viewers of Madani channel, Islam has guided us on what we should eat and what we should not eat.
Allahu Akbar.
Simply because of not causing disturbance to the peace of others, dear viewers. So, often in South Africa, Sayyidi, we even see that we have carpets in almost all the masajid.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen any masjid without no carpet?
Yeah, in South Africa, I haven't
you
seen
haven't
masajid
seen,
without
right?
carpets.
I have also not seen, right? In Pakistan, I have seen tiles, mashallah.
Yeah, yes.
And they would roll out a chatai straw mat.
Okay, mashallah.
And in winter, they will roll out carpets,
mm-hmm.
so to protect people from the cold of the tile itself. So, it's
right.
nice because of the marble tiles.
I have seen one masjid, mashallah, that is tiled, but
yeah.
then carpets are laid over the
laid
tiles that
over
people perform
right.
salah on the carpets.
Right. So that's there, right? Then we notice that when the food intake is not controlled well, and then a person also doesn't take care of his feet, his socks, his shoes, this leaves a bad odor on the carpet. And this is the masjid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where even passing wind is forbidden.
Allah.
It is not allowed to do so. A person should exit and leave the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he needs to experience something like that. So if a person is aware that my shoes and socks give out a bad odor, we are talking about cleanliness, I understand. But together with that, it's not a pleasant feeling for the next person to go on sajda, to go into prostration at the same spot where someone walked with his socks that left behind its nishan, that left behind the trade.
Yes, the bad smell.
The bad smell.
I think this is also very important for us to pay attention to. Because just think of it. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, we are so blessed That part of our wudu is cleaning our entire body, cleaning our feet as well.
Right.
We are going to the masjid, we're going to the house of Allah, Azza wa Jal, we're going to be in the company of people, but very importantly, in the company of malaika. Even the cleaning of the mouth.
Right, very important.
I want to bring this to our attention as well, since we're on the discussion of masajid. The cleaning of our mouth is so important that if there are particles of food that are within the mouth, then that too is repulsive to the malaika, to the extent that there's nothing that is more harmful, more repulsive, disgusting
Allahu
to the malaika than particles of food being present in the mouth of that person who they are appointed to and is performing salah.
What's not pleasant to the next human is also not pleasant to the malaika.
Absolutely.
If a human being cannot take the smell that's emanating from a person's mouth because of not being hygiene, then this can also affect the malaika as well. But on the same note, Ya Sayyidi, let's talk about climate cleanliness, because climate plays a huge role with regards to cleanliness itself.
Right.
In countries where there is a lot of heat, Ya Sayyidi, you'll experience sweat increase, right? Then we have the odors that intensify. Then we have the bacteria that multiplies. So sometimes living in an area or country like, I would say, India, Pakistan, these are hot countries. Mm-hmm. Arab is hot.
Yes.
And due to whatever people eat, digest very fast. And it forms into blood very quickly. It lets out the sweat. It doesn't store. The body doesn't store that sweat.
Right.
As compared to people who eat food with less spices, but with less exercise at the same time. And they don't have those places where they let out the bad odor.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your intake with regards to the climate itself?
That's very important. In fact, you know, in recent years, we've seen a drastic climate change across the world. And this also affects many parts of our lives, no doubt about it. But it also affects our hygiene and the steps that we need to take to ensure that our hygiene is still as per the standard that it should be. Because let's say, for example, I'm going to give the example of the country South Africa that we are presently in. The country of South Africa experiences winters, and it also experiences summers like any other part of the world. And in winter, we do not perspire as much as we perspire in summer. Those areas, those regions that are very hot in summer especially, those are regions that you might perspire even more in. And in an area where the humidity is very high, like Durban, so you could perspire quite a lot within summer. Now, that means that we need to ensure that we bath often enough, we perform wudu often enough, we do istinja, wash ourselves often enough in these times more than in winter times as well, because in winter you might not perspire as much. So when you perspire more, we need to bath more often, we need to clean ourselves more often. Sometimes people tend to use some sorts of deodorants or some talcum powder that people use in order to refrain, to stop yourself from perspiring that much. I'm not in the discussion of whether it's healthy or it's not healthy, but some sort of means we need to use of keeping a good smell. And then people who have strenuous physical activity as their way of life, as their means of earning. Maybe someone is a laborer. Now, such a person needs to pay more attention to personal hygiene. For what reason? Because they're going to perspire more. Their work is labor intensive. So in that case, if your work is labor intensive, please do ensure that we bath a little bit more often, we clean ourselves more often, as compared to someone who's maybe working in an office environment under an air conditioner.
Yeah.
So they might not perspire as much. So look at our situation in life and prep yourself accordingly. Islam has already encouraged these things. So even though we are facing the difficulty example of climate change, of areas becoming drastically hotter, but still, alhamdulillah, if we follow the guidelines of Islam, it will help us with regards to matters like this personal hygiene, even in these difficult circumstances.
Subhanallah. I'm just admiring the beauty of Islam once again, dear viewers, that Islam is this beautiful deen that anticipated climate realities. Jihad. Imagine, Islam knows very well that some countries in the world will be cold as compared to many other countries, and Islam foreseen this, which is why Islam emphasized on ghusl. Why is wudu 5 times a day? For the same reason. Why is khushbu and fragrance recommended? It is encouraged. For what reason? Because of climate realities. Clothes, Islam stresses so much on clothes, as Mawsab has mentioned. For what reason? It's because Islam is not seasonal. It is universal.
Wow.
Subhanallah. Islam is universal, dear viewers. Wherever you are in the world, whether you're in the UK where you hardly see the sun, you're still going to make wudu 5 times a day. As compared to a country, subhanallah, where it's hotter And subhanAllah, if you have ghusl day, if you have a bath day, you apply fragrances, and then subhanAllah, you eat healthy, you stay healthy, you will remain healthy. You will remain clean and hygiene, subhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah.
And the best part is when you have the mother in your ibadah, Ya Sayyidi. It's not nice to, you know, not have the heart and the mindset in your worship. It becomes harder. However, Ya Sayyidi, can Mullah Sahib mention, inshaAllah, Azza wa Jalla, how does the external cleanliness of our bodies have an impact on our work, on our productivity and interactions when we are talking to people, wherever we are in the dunya? How does the external part of our cleanliness have an impact on these matters?
Right. See, our cleanliness, our external cleanliness, it does affect how people feel in our company.
Right.
And whether they are encouraged or, you know, to join our company, whether our company is that magnetic force that draws people towards us, or whether it repels people away from us. So I think we did hint as well as towards this, that any person who is dignified, who is liked, who is loved, who's accompanied.
He's taken more seriously, maybe.
Yes, that's
people
true.
People take clean people very seriously. Huh?
Yes, so you'll find that these are clean people. Unfortunately, people tend to, if we don't adopt that cleanliness, then people might see a little bit of beauty from afar, but when they come close to us, they're going to want to run away as fast as possible, and then we tend to complain.
Right.
Why is it that people are not in my company? Sometimes it's just because of oral hygiene. If someone doesn't brush their mouth, brush their teeth, people don't want to stay very close to them. If someone didn't apply some sort of fragrance, people are not often attracted to them when they are, you know, when they are perspiring. And so, apply some sort of fragrance. Ensure that oral hygiene is taken care of. Ensure that the ears are clean. Ensure that the mustache is trimmed. This is so important for men as well. Ensure that the excess hair at the pubic area and the armpits, that is removed as well. Ensure that, you know, our clothes are kept clean. All of this helps that people take us seriously, they want to spend time in our company, and they feel comfortable in our presence. And yet, if all of this is not taken care of, then the direct opposite is going to take place. People are repelled from our company, they are not comfortable in such a person's company. And unfortunately, we know that it is wrong in the first place for people to do riba, but it becomes something for people to do riba on. And people tend to start naming the person this name and that name just because the person has not taken care of their hygiene. And this is then going to lead to more sins because people are going to be speaking bad and thinking bad about others. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. So don't give them bad to think about and to speak about. Rather, act upon the sunnah and everyone feels comfortable in
MashaAllah.
Your company.
Okay, talking about acting upon sunnah, how can families get together and revive the sunnah within their homely environments? We have children, we have youth, we have adults, we have seniors, we have every type of people in our society.
Yes.
The thing is that every home should begin from within their homes.
That's
emphasizing to their families. But which is the tariqah in that way, Ya Sayyidi?
MashaAllah. I think that's a very beautiful point to draw our attention to. Family units should be the first schools for our children, for our families to be able to learn the deen of Islam, the way of the deen of Islam, and especially this part of the deen of Islam, which is cleanliness. Where are children going to learn it from? They are not just going to learn it from schools and madrasas. We assume that the school and madrasa must teach everything to my child and the home is only to keep the child
alive.
It's not that way. The home is the foundation. It's the first university. It's where we are blessed with the opportunity to not just teach, but to train our children. And so we need to become good role models for them in whatever aspects it is that we want them to progress in. Example, we want them to be clean. Since we're speaking about cleanliness, let's focus upon that. That we want them to be clean. We want cleanliness to be built within them. And so we need to become role models of cleanliness. They should see that we don't eat without washing our hands. They should see that we bath often. For those that need to bath daily, then you bath daily. Some, in fact, there are some countries, some areas, and some days even here in Durban, South Africa, that you might feel the need to bath twice a day.
Twice a day, yeah.
So if that need comes about, then the children should see that their parents and their elders, their elder siblings, they are doing so, that we are encouraging clean and healthy habits. We should speak about hygiene, speak about cleanliness, but speak about it in the light of ibadah. That remember, if you stay clean for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, because Allah Azza wa Jal loves it, then this is an ibadah. Allah Azza wa Jal will love you, He will reward you for it. So they don't see cleanliness as a burden. Rather, they see cleanliness as an act of worship and an act which opens the doors to other acts of worship. Because it's cleanliness that lets you touch the Quran, That's an ibadah. It's cleanliness that lets you read the Quran. That's an ibadah. It's cleanliness that helps you perform salah, that opens the doors to salah for you. So this too is an ibadah. So it is an ibadah, which is a door to other ibadah as well, to other acts of worship. And instill it in them in such a way that they believe that cleanliness is part of our Islamic identity.
So embedded in them.
Yes, that we as Muslims have to be clean. We are clean. This, the Muslim nation, the people of Islam, they are clean because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was and is clean sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Anbiya alayhi wasallam, the Sahaba al-Kiram, the beloveds of Allah, the Awliya al-Kiram, all were clean personalities. This is the way of Islam. It's part of our identity. So don't lose our identity just because we're feeling lazy. No. Hold on to our identity. We are a clean nation.
Kya baat hai bade ke, subhanallah. Sayyidi, you have mentioned all these beautiful points and alhamdulillah, this takes us just 5 minutes before we come to the end of today's program, subhanallah. And we have achieved so much already, alhamdulillah, to emphasize with regards to cleanliness itself. So, alhamdulillah, especially Mawlana Sahib being in the Jamia, being involved in the Darlu, mashallah, being a principal of the Jamia itself. Do you find this to be a matter with regards to the children? Because boys normally would be used to their mothers and parents doing everything at home, having maids, servant maids, whatever it may be, right?
Right.
And then, alhamdulillah, running Jamia, you also have a structure in place, right?
Yes.
There's someone who will take care of the flooring of the environment itself.
Yes.
But are children taught cleanliness itself there as well?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. You see, cleanliness is part of our deen.
Mm.
It's part of our Islam.
Mm.
It is at-tuhur shatr al-iman.
Mm.
You know, it's half of our deen. This shows such importance given to cleanliness in the deen of Islam. And so, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, this is taught and it is part of the training of our students. We actually, based on the season and based on the climate, etc., we encourage the number of times that a student should bath as well.
Yeah.
If students and youngsters tend to like to play and you know, do some physical activities, that's not discouraged. It's encouraged, alhamdulillah. At the same time, after strenuous physical activity, then they are encouraged that please ensure that you do bath, ensure that you do perform wudu. How often it is that you need to change your clothing, change your socks, need to wash your feet with cold water from time to time. Siwak, using a miswak, is encouraged that it should be done from time to time. That the hair, the appearance, etc., is checked, and they are told privately as well that you know, it's your kurta is not looking very clean. Please ensure that you do bath and change the kurta. And at the same time, alhamdulillah, here in Jamia in South Africa, facilities are really good. Alhamdulillah, they're in place. So we have there are staff members that take care of cleaning, of washing of the clothes, of ensuring that the floors are clean, the rooms are kept clean, the classrooms are kept clean, and students are constantly reminded of this, that this is part of deen. We cannot be overlooking cleanliness and think that we are practicing the deen of Islam. Practicing the deen of Islam includes ensuring that we are looking clean and smelling clean.
Right.
From time to time, mashallah, itars are also distributed or gifted to different Islamic brothers. That whilst we're on this, let me just clarify it. Please do not think of everything negatively. This is important.
Mm.
I've seen people that if you gift them anything, they will find a negative way of looking at it.
Achcha.
So that means if you give someone, let's say, a bath set that includes maybe a deodorant, some ether or something of that sort, you're thinking I'm very dirty. If you give them some sort of clothes, you think my clothes are not nice, that there's nothing you can give certain people that they don't think negatively of.
Allah,
so we shouldn't be this way. In fact, since Islam has encouraged it, isn't it a wonderful thing to gift these sorts of things, but you know, bath sets to gift and try, look at the institutes around you and give them these things, because understand that students that are studying the deen don't always come from wealthy backgrounds. There's sometimes that students have difficulty in purchasing daily, you know, basic toiletries.
Mm.
And therefore, these should be part of the gifts that we do give to students as well. Even if it be toothbrush and toothpaste, if it be some ether, if it be some bath sets, the same way we consider that we need to give our children these things so that they keep clean, so that they have the tools necessary to keep clean. At the same time, we should gift it to students as well who don't really have a means of income. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, then they are also equipped. Imagine we tell someone, stay clean, and then they don't have any means of staying clean.
Mm.
We need to also ensure that they are empowered. This is part of empowerment of the youth, of the youngsters, of those who are studying various sciences and studying the Deen of Islam, that we empower them with this as well as the knowledge and the tarbiyah, the training for them to live the complete Islamic way of life as per the Sunnah, in staying clean, in staying fresh, in ensuring that they're always presentable. This training must be given, because they are becoming leaders of society. And so what is found in them, society will often follow. And therefore, this tarbiyah is given to them.
Kya baat hai Madine ki. I'm just recalling that there was a time when there was an epidemic that spread.
Yes.
And people were going crazy about hygiene. And Islam emphasizes and stresses on that hygiene in the last 1,400 some odd years.
Absolutely.
Beyond that, subhanAllah. Beyond that, dear viewers. And Islam will continue to stress on this. This message is till the day of Qiyamah to remain hygiene and clean, dear viewers. Because Islam is not a side note. Cleanliness is not a side note in Islam. Jihad, it is a system, dear viewers.
Wow.
It is a system, a tariqah. So clean your body, your worship, your ibadah will improve, subhanAllah. Clean your habits, your ways, clean it, purify it. What will happen? Your adab, your respect, that will increase, subhanAllah. Mm. So this is what we need to remember, and this is what we need to do, inshallah, azza wa jalla. Islam is there to reform us. Islam is there to reform the dunya, to reform the world, starting with personal hygiene. This was our discussion. We say shukran to Mulana Sahib for being part and parcel of this program. Ya Sayyidi, you have really enjoyed tonight's session with Mulana Sahib. And we hope that Allah Kareem grants us the tawfiq and ability to practice upon these Madani pearls. Allah azza wa jalla loves those bandas who repent. He loves those who stay clean, who remain clean. And Islam, subhanAllah, teaches us that cleanliness is half of your iman. So inshallah, from tonight, from this very moment, we all make dua, we all make niyyah, that we will take more precaution as far as our cleanliness goes, inshallah. And we will try and smell fragrant, try and spread fragrance by giving fragrance to people, inshallah, azza wa jalla. As Bonan Sahib mentioned so beautifully, to give students, gift those things to students if possible, because we all want to be hygiene, and they are students of the deen as well, subhanallah. So until next time, reform yourself before time reforms you, dear viewers. Keep smiling. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم.
Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah.